Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton. Very glad you could listen today. During the first hour of the show, we'll talk about something that you, I'm sure, have heard a lot about. Unless this is your very first media experience in your life, you know that Chief Illiniwek has become a very controversial thing on the campus of the University of Illinois. Opponents of the chief claim that the Chief Illiniwek is a racist mascot, and supporters say that the chief is an honored symbol. And of course, the University of Illinois has steadfastly stood by Chief Illiniwek as the honored symbol of the University of Illinois. We've done a number of shows on this program relating to Chief Illiniwek and the issues that it raises, with the idea being that you are intelligent enough to hear different perspectives and make up your own minds. And that is what we will continue to do during this hour of Focus 580. During this hour, we will talk with three guests who work together to produce a new documentary outlining the history of the people who have portrayed Chief Illiniwek. The film is called The Chief, and it is premiering tomorrow evening at the Clarion Hotel at 8 p.m. Tickets for that event are gone, unfortunately, but it will also be showed a week from tomorrow night at the Clarion, same time, and tickets are available for that. We'll tell you, if you would like, how you can get tickets. In the meantime, let me tell you our guests this morning are Roger Huddleston, Julie Herman, and Gene Edwards. They are all three very much involved in the producing of this film and have been, at least I know in the case of Roger and Gene, longtime advocates of Chief Illiniwek. And we'll talk with them about the making of the film, what they attempt to communicate with it, and a variety of issues that it raises during this hour. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call us around Champaign-Urbana. The number is 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Again, around Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL, if you match the letters with the numbers. Toll-free anywhere, 800-222-WILL. To the three of you, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. All in a chorus. That's great. I love having this many guests.
We cooperate.
That's great. Let me start by directing a question to Roger, who's Roger and Gene, the executive producers of the show, of the documentary, and Julie was the associate producer. Julie and her husband Mark Herman wrote the script and did the technical production of the film, which, by the way, looks gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Roger, talk about the motivation. Why did you want to do this film?
When I was a kid, about 12 years old, I went to a football game with my dad. It was the very first football game I had ever been to in my life. And, of course, going to the University of Illinois Memorial Stadium and seeing all the pageantry was somewhat overwhelming for this young boy from Decatur, Illinois, and being along with his dad and his buddies. And about halftime, something very unique happened was that everybody stood up. And I didn't know why. It was a nice band out there. But there was an individual who was Chief Illiniwek. That came out of a band and began to celebrate something. Didn't know what, but I knew it was something special. And it was something special because people quit talking, people stood in respect, and there was something that stirred in my soul that said, even as a 12-year-old boy, this is something special. And that began a love affair with the University of Illinois and a great affection for this chief. And it piqued something within me that's grown over the years. So that was a very simple start back when I was 12 years old.
Okay. And talk about the film itself, because this is a little different approach, perhaps, than maybe even you started out with.
Well, one of the things, and I'm going to give just a tremendous amount of credit to Gene here. Gene, for a lot of years, was the lone voice in this community that basically set about preserving the chief when he became an individual or a symbol under attack. And she caught my attention, and it, again, piqued some interest. My feelings were there. My emotions were there. But we began to explore within myself some of the other things that came up. And when I say the other things that came up, there were some serious people that had serious questions. There was thoughts of racism. There were thoughts of just lots of issues. And, you know, I thought, you know, if I have these feelings, my intelligence demands that I take a look and take a couple steps back and analyze it. So I'm a bit of a history buff, sports nut, And I'm naturally curious. And so I backed up and began to go ahead and study and dialogue and listen. And out of that became some emotions and feelings that became convictions, but not without answering some very serious questions first. You know, why does this portrayal of an Illini Indian wear a Sioux uniform? Why is this dance, which at that time I thought had little or no historical significance, I heard that it didn't. Why is that celebrated? What is there about all this? And begin to learn about a confederation of Algonquin tribes. Begin to learn a lot about the history of it. And then Gene and I met, and we began to go ahead and just compare some notes. And as our emotion turned to passion and conviction, wanted to go ahead and try to do something that made a difference. So we kind of pooled our resources about a year ago, said, you know, we need to delve into this, and we'd like to have something that was a production, maybe a five-minute video. And as we began to chew on this, it went from 5 minutes to 15 minutes,
and it grew and grew and grew.
But maybe the most remarkable thing was this. Gene and I are just two people. Gene is a gal. I cannot use the word retired. She's the most energetic person I think I've ever met in my life. I've got a full-time business with other interests. So this passion we got into, we realized that we needed a storyteller. We needed somebody to produce it. And we found the Hermans, and it was just a wonderful find. And Gene and I still call it a divine moment when we put us together, because we were really going a different direction at the time. And what ended up happening was that Mark and Julie had tremendous insight, and between the four of us, it was decided that we would begin to interview all the chiefs that were still living. And out of that, perhaps a storyboard or a story would come that we could go ahead and make a presentation. And as I was talking with Mark one night after he returned from Colorado, I realized that one of the things that was happening was that all of a sudden we were chronicling the chief's story. We made contact with 27 former chiefs or their families, interviewed most of them, and what came out of that was we basically sat by and let the chief tell his own story. So in kind of a Reader's Digest summary, that's kind of where we're at.
Okay. Gene, you've been involved in this for a long time,
yes,
as a chief supporter, and you know, maybe I could ask you to talk a bit about your own motivations and why you feel so strongly.
I was a graduate of the University of Illinois School of Music. I always loved the chief when I was in school, and I got really tired of hearing people call up Penny for Your Thoughts complaining about the chief. And so just in a fit of excitement one day, I decided, well, I'm going to do something about this. And so I got a bunch of people together that I thought would cover all angles of people in the Champaign-Urbana area, and I sent out a letter to 35,000 people, which isn't very many, asking them to do something by writing the Board of Trustees and telling them if they wanted to keep the chief, how they felt. And out of that 3,500 letters, we had a response of about 1,500 to each Board of Trustee member. They got a little mad at me because they couldn't even find their own mail. Anyway, it started, and then for years, I sold T-shirts and things just to get money going. It was called Citizens for Chief Illiniwek. And then these young men from the university 3 years ago decided they wanted to approach this from a different angle. We had tried that. We thought it would be better to educate people about Native American life and culture. So that was the purpose of starting the Educational Foundation. And so this is a part of that. And we have a good many members. They're all over the country, really, now, because a lot of the students that joined 3 years ago have moved on. But the thing is basically in place and in very good hands, and we expect to continue. And our purpose, of course, is to show our support for all Native American. We don't seem to be able to find a common meeting ground in all these dialogues and things we've all been through. But we feel, as you see in the video itself, that there's a lot of Native American culture in there, that these young men went out and really looked it up and went to see Indian tribes when they were going to be the chief. So they got into it pretty heavily. And that's part of the purpose of the whole thing, to show that it was an honest endeavor, not based on any kind of lies or things we made up.
Okay. Well, let me then turn to Julie Herman and ask how you got involved in this. Was this something before you took on the project, you and your husband, Mark, in producing the film? Were you involved in, you know, supporting the chief, or how did you come into that role as producer of the film?
Well, my husband grew up in this community, yeah. And I was born and raised in the state of Illinois, and we were both chief supporters and very in favor of the chief and what he represented and the dignity and ideals that are involved with Chief Illiniwek. So when Gene and Roger approached us about it, we were very excited because we do support the chief. And again, we share some of the feelings of Roger and Gene that we were tired of seeing the chief continually attacked. And we decided this would be a great avenue to educate people about Chief Illiniwek and the origins of Chief Illiniwek, and hopefully people who didn't understand why Chief Illiniwek is who he is could gain some knowledge from this video and understand their feelings a little bit more about the chief and understand why he is the honored symbol of the University of Illinois.
Okay. As probably most listeners know, the University of Illinois earlier this year announced a period of public dialogue on Chief Illiniwek and has established several formal mechanisms for people to contribute comments, their own perspectives and arguments to the University of Illinois Board of Trustees, including an intake session which occurred on April 14th at the Follinger Auditorium all day long. I think it was, you were probably all there. This will eventually result in the judge who was hired, Louis Garippo, issuing a report on that dialogue to the Board of Trustees, and that was postponed and is now expected sometime in November. I guess I just to throw this out, and any of you can feel free to comment, what do you think about this effort to foster a public dialogue? Do you think this is a positive thing? Do you think that this is something that will help resolve the issue in the minds of the people who are conflicted about it?
I personally think it's very healthy, and I think it was timely, if not overdue. I happened to be one of the presenters that particular day, and I will tell you that it was good. I think that there was, again, serious people bringing up serious issues in an attempt to seek facts. And I think that more than anything, I was probably impressed that day that while there were certainly some lines drawn in the sand, there are certainly some agendas that superseded even that day, that was an opportunity for a public forum, there were some people that were really listening that day. And that was probably the greater amount of people there. So I came away impressed, not only with the dialogue itself, but with some individual statements. I think that any time that we seek facts and have dialogue that's a good exchange is good.
Okay. Well, let me just ask one other question that I think cuts perhaps to the heart of the controversy in the eyes of many people, and then we've got a call to include, and we'll welcome others as well. It seems that, you know, and maybe this is putting it too simplistically, but the ownership of Chief Illiniwek is in many ways at the core of the issue. And an example of this is a recent letter to the editor published in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, in which the writer essentially lays claim to ownership of Chief Illiniwek on behalf of the students and alumni of the University of Illinois, saying essentially, Chief Illiniwek is our chief. The chief does not belong to Native Americans. The chief does not belong to non-members of the University of Illinois student or alumni body. And that no one else has the rights to say what is an accurate portrayal, given that the ownership is ours. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's really true. I think anyone that has lived here or moved here and has gone to a football game or a basketball game and has seen the chief come out has been caught up in this whole thing, even though they didn't go to the university. And as far as ownership, everybody that I know is crazy about him and feels it's very meaningful to their whole family, and it has been for a good many years. And I know a lot of letters that have come our way have mm-hmm. certainly shown that many people remember the chief as one of the big things of their whole university experience.
To hitchhike on that, I disagree with the writer there, and I think to exclude any citizen in the state of Illinois is to be a wee bit presumptuous. I don't think this particular writer was necessarily mean-spirited, but I think the chief belongs to the people of the state of Illinois. You know, he's one of my geographic ancestors in a very symbolic way. The Illiniwek Indians, or the Illinois Indians, were here, and they are my geographic heritage also.
Yeah. Well, I understand that point. On the other hand, there are those American Indians who would then argue that, no, the chief does not belong to you or the people of Illinois. This is a Native American symbol. It is using a sacred dance and religious iconography and something that has very deep meaning to Native American people. And the chief really, I mean, these symbols that have been used in a sporting event really belong to Native Americans.
I don't think it's really a religious dance. I think it's more like fancy dancing that you would see if you go to a powwow.
And the chiefs will all tell you that. It is not drawn from a religious background or meant to be representation of any sort of religious ceremony.
But one of the things I was also impressed with was that none of the chiefs, and I'm particularly recalling Adele, who was the Princess Illiniwek, which was the one male exception back in 43, said that they took this very seriously. She was a young woman that had grown up on a reservation, and she knew that this was a serious thing. I have been so impressed by the chiefs and their attitude. This is not a fun time. This is a very serious time that they hold in very high esteem.
We have a couple of calls to talk with, speaking of public dialogue, and we'll include them in our conversation. Would welcome others. We have two people waiting, a couple lines open. The number is around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Let's go to a listener in Freeport on line number four. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm quoting from the 1944 University of Illinois yearbook here. It says, as Chief Illiniwek has gone to war, Princess Illiniwek did the traditional Indian dance wearing the famous chief's costume for the Illinois homecoming game and the Northwestern Illinois game at Evanston. So there's been lady chiefs.
There has been one.
Yes. That's right.
Council ladies. And I think this calling mascots racist and everything, I think it's been getting very ridiculous. If we go this far, why, what's to stop the banning of Hail to the Chief, the President? Because, you know, we have this traditional song. We refer to the President as the Chief of the United States from the Indian past, you might say. So, I mean, are we going to ban Hail to the Chief, too? Because that's racist, the presidential anthem. And actually, you know, I agree with you. I think that Chief Illiniwek symbolizes the great Indian tribe here that the French explorers found, you know, the Illini, and I think it honors him rather than anything else.
We totally agree with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Glad you feel that way.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Our lines are all full, so we'll go on and talk with some more listeners. Next up, someone in Urbana on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a couple of questions, but I'd like to say in response to the last caller, I think chief is probably a Western European language word, English word, and probably a word that we assign to Indian leaders and not necessarily need to be deleted from our Hail to the Chief. But here's my question. In listening to these sides, the thing that gets said back and forth that I don't ever hear answered from people who support the chief is, you know, when the Native Americans say, you know, they're not that you're doing a religious dance at the game, but that you're using a sacred symbol, and that they feel offended by the use of a sacred symbol, and also that they say that this, you know, this this does not represent their feelings. This does not represent who they are. And then I hear the supporters say, you know, but we've researched this. We take this very seriously. We care about this. But the anti-chief people are saying, but it's not the right thing. I don't feel like chief supporters ever answer that. You know, they just keep saying, but we do think it is. But you're not really responding to what they're saying that it's not. You're just saying, well, it's like you're saying, okay, well, that's what you think, but here's what we think. But if you're talking about the Native Americans as an authentic source for whether or not this is an accurate symbol, whether or not Native Americans feel comfortable with this, they keep saying that they don't. And no matter how much they say that they don't feel comfortable with it, the supporters just keep saying, well, we think it's, you know, we think it's well-researched. And it seems to me like what the supporters are can't really claim that they're doing something that's really a Native American thing. It's more like the way European descendants feel about Indians. It's more like you're extrapolating the parts of it that are meaningful to you. Like I'm not a Catholic, but if I went to the Catholic Mass, you know, sure, there are parts in that are meaningful to me, and I'm extrapolating it. It doesn't really mean that a Catholic would feel that I'm worshiping the way a Catholic does.
I think we take your point. What do you think about that?
I think the caller has got a good point. I'd like to respond to that because that's one of the concerns that troubled me early on. One of the things that I looked not past but looked at also is that let's look at the chief because he was a chief in historical ways that he was a leader of a confederation of different tribes that had some specific differences here in Illinois with the Illinois. Even though they had their differences and were certainly unique to themselves, these Algonquin tribes came together as a confederation for some common good. What better symbol that we would have for a university that has a lot of cultural differences? So that was one thought that I had. The second one was that, you know, when we think of the chief, I think of all those symbols that the good Lord has put inside every man that all cultures would agree on. Whether a person was Muslim, Hindu, American Indian, Christian, Jew, no matter where they were at in the world, would they agree that honesty and loyalty, integrity, and those character traits that are held in high esteem by all cultures are good? And I find that that this is embodied and personified within who we call Chief Illiniwek. I'm not a Native American, but then again, I don't know my lineage past about five generations. I mean, I may have some Native American back in my lineage sometime. But if my people were chosen to represent all those good things that are in men, I think that I would be honored. I look also at the respect and the perspective of the people that do this. So this is a celebration of all things good, but I think the caller's point's well taken.
Well, if I could just add something to that, I would guess, not wanting to speak for them, but I would think a member of a group, like in this case the Native Americans, might feel that was true if you were honoring the chief in a way that, for them, really honored the chief. I don't know, for example, like, you know, if there was a meaningful statue or places on campus that really spoke about his meaning and the people's and their values and beliefs. I think to a lot of Native Americans, this is kind of like, you know, because you're doing this, you're using this sacred symbol at this like raucous sporting event. You know, it's a game. I don't have a word for that, but it, at this sporting event, it's not being used in a way, even though people may take it seriously, and even though white people may look at it and say, you know, oh, wow, Indians, you know, we really admire them. It's not really an honor, and I still feel like nobody's answered the questions. If they don't feel honored by it, why aren't we listening to that? If they're saying this isn't an honor, then why aren't we saying, okay, you know, our mistake, it's not an honor. You know, how could we honor you if we really want to honor them? I mean, maybe what we really want is not to give up having the chief dancing around at the sporting event. I mean, I really think it's more like a you're not going to take this away from us kind of thing than we really want to honor them. So thank you, and that's all I have for now.
Okay, thanks for the call.
If I could respond to that, I don't know where it says that we've got to have a 100% majority opinion on everything before anything is sanctioned. If we did that, our republic would come to a grinding halt. I think that where we have is consideration and respect. On the flip side of that, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to join in those folks that have portrayals of their culture or their family heritage in negative ways. And I will join them in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Cleveland Indians ballpark for Chief Wahoo. I think that's an absolute disgrace. I think Squanto, who was the symbol of the University of Illinois College of Agriculture up until a few years ago, was a disgrace. It was a cartoon character. It edified no one. I would suggest that we look for consensus in the area of reason, and if we look for unanimity, we're not going to get out of bed in the morning.
Okay. So you would make a clean distinction between Chief Wahoo and Chief Illiniwek?
Well, one's a cartoon mascot that shows nothing but disrespect for a people that I would be insulted at, and I am as a human being. Whereas we've got an honored symbol that celebrates all of mankind.
Okay. Let me raise one other point that chief opponents make, and then I'll go on to some other callers, just because I think that it's an important thing for us to be talking about, however we arrive at whatever conclusion. And that is that if we are intending to honor Native Americans in this symbol, that this symbolizes honor, honesty, strength, leadership, and these are the things that we associate Native Americans with, or American Indians, or the Illini tribe, or the Sioux, or parts of these things in this symbol. Why do we not honor real, live, living American Indians? Why are they such an oppressed class in such dire straits, living on reservations and really not welcome in many places?
It's amazing to hear you say that they're not welcome, because it sounds really bad to me. I can't imagine not welcoming any Native American Indian. I think they're kind of put out because the government pushed them around a lot, and we can't blame them for that. And I don't know what the current status is of many of the reservations, but I know some of them are doing well and making some money and having a pretty good life, and others are not at all. There's a big disparity, but there certainly is in our lives, too. And anybody here, anybody in this whole United States, we're not all sitting in the easy chair, you know. A lot of people are having terrible times right now.
And Jack,
so it's no different.
I'm sorry, Gene.
Go ahead.
And I don't think that the Native Americans or First Nation people, I've been reading some research recently about the concept of First Nation people, which I find very fascinating. I don't think that humanity has certainly selected them specifically. I think we've still got lots of inequities. And let's face it, there's racism that goes both ways. I think if we celebrate those things of the human spirit that are good in all men and hold that as our measure, then we go ahead and don't just neglect or support one group, but that we cherish and hold sacred the spirit of all mankind.
Okay. We're a little past our midpoint, talking with our guest Roger Huddleston, Gene Edwards, and Julie Herman. They are producers of a new documentary film entitled The Chief, which tells the story of the people who have portrayed Chief Illiniwek and the very deep meaning that the chief has held for them and many people at the University of Illinois and throughout the state. And just to mention again that the premiere of this film will be held tomorrow night. Unfortunately, the tickets are all gone, but there will be another showing a week from tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at the Clarion Hotel in Champaign. And I believe tickets are available for that still.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Okay, and people can get tickets if you're interested. I'll mention the phone number. You can call WDWS, WHMS at 351-5300.
And they're free.
That's right. The tickets are free. So there you go. And the film is also, by the way, the proceeds are going of the sales of the film.
Of the donations.
Right, donations.
Oh, you're taking donations.
Be very careful yes. with I'll let donations.
You okay.
We don't sell them. We give them for donations of $20 or more.
Well, let me ask you, Roger, to explain what, you know, the what donations, how they're being collected and where they're going.
Well, first off, they're going to offset the production costs of this very, very first-class production, first and foremost. And then secondly, it's going into the educational foundation for the purposes of which it's been set up for, and Gene can probably tell you more about that.
Well, more education, we hope. We'll come up with some other ideas and possibly help some of the campus groups. If they have an idea, we'd be open to that, try to go along with them and help them.
You know, Jack, I want to comment. One of your callers came with a great idea, and I just wrote it down. I think it would be terrific if there was a bronze statue of Chief Illiniwek on campus that had a stated purpose that would not allow it to be interpreted as a cartoon symbol, as a cheerleader, as, for instance, the Seminole is down at Florida, but that really made a statement and a proclamation that we could all agree upon. And I think that it would be wonderful that perhaps the plaque that was underneath that could come out of a dialogue session. I think that's a great idea that I like to pursue.
Well, maybe suggest it to Judge Garippo.
I think it'd be terrific.
Our lines are all full, so let's go on and talk with some more callers. We'll go next to a listener in Urbana on line number 3. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Good morning. You, Mr. Huddleston, said that a highlight of your experience at the University of Illinois was seeing the chief. I think the other guests have reiterated that, having that experience. You know, one of my highlights of my experience at the University of Illinois was participating in a class in educational policy studies about multicultural diversity and beginning to really start to know other races and other ethnic groups and to meet some Native Americans and African Americans and Cuban Americans, to actually experience the depth of relationships with people. And I really am very sorry that someone would have to say that the one of the highlights of their experience was to see the chief. That's very sad to me. I think that you're all getting pleasure from the chief. It's a source of your own pleasure, and that the fans seem to get a lot of pleasure from it. And you're so willing to defend your right to have that pleasure at any cost. That's what seems to stand out to me, that you will find a way to defend something hitting your pleasure center that really gets your serotonin flowing somehow. And it's at the expense of people, real-life people, who are indeed not welcome in many places. Jack used the word not welcome, and you said, well, of course, you know, the woman there said, of course, where would they not be welcome? They're not welcome at the University of Illinois because they feel it is an Native Americans are so uncomfortable with this, of being stereotyped, even to be stereotyped as honest and loyal and integrity. They are not an honest, loyal integrity. That's not how they want to be stereotyped. They're human beings with good faults and with good attributes and with faults. They have a depth to them that you cannot portray in a cartoon character. And you say that Squanto's different, that he's bad and the chief is good, but that's not how a people are. They have a lot of depth, and you're missing it with the chief. And I think it's time that we just say we're sorry, we made a mistake, and can we instead, what happened to, you know, on the they were supposed to get some funding for a program for Native Americans that completely fell through. You know, putting up a statue, big deal. We need to truly embrace and welcome people instead of trying to just do these symbolic things that we think hit the right ground. My question is, who funded this film?
Okay, thanks for the call, and I'm sorry, we're going to move on after that because we have full lines and running out of time, but thanks very much for your call, and we'll try to get an answer.
You're welcome. Okay.
We're funding it as we go along, as a matter of fact. We've collected from many individuals we've called on, businesses, friends. We're hoping that when we receive some donations from our video, that will help to wind up a great many expenses we still have. And we had little money from the Citizens for Chief Illiniwek and also some money from the Educational Foundation.
I think the group answer to that is the Chief Illiniwek Educational Foundation is the umbrella that has collected all this money.
Okay. Well, the caller does raise the issue of the academic mission of the University of Illinois. She related an experience that she had in educational policy studies. And a number of, in fact, many, many departments of the university, academic departments, anthropology, English, history, a number of other highly respected programs have essentially said this is harming our educational mission. I mean, is this not something that should be in the mix when the judge issues his report? Isn't this an important thing?
I would hope that the university would celebrate every nationality and every culture and every bit of ethnic diversity within their studies program here. I don't think that the chief certainly invalidates any of that. I mentioned something just in a personal point of view. I did not attend the university other than one semester, so I'm not a graduate of the university. Okay. So, and also, the chief was not the highlight of my experience. It was one of the highlights, plural.
Okay. All right. Well, we have three callers, and unless somebody's going to jump in real quick and want to add something, we'll go on next to someone else. Listener Champagne on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hello. It seems to me that the guests are taking the fact that they and others who support the chief are sincere in their efforts as a reason or a justification for what they're doing. But I think that the previous caller's remarks about the fact that the fact that Native Americans don't appreciate it, and it's not a question of it being unanimous. I mean, there's widespread, antagonism among Native Americans towards the chief. But I would point out that it's sometimes hard to see, how things really affect other people. Imagine a major university in the southern part of the United States decided to honor African Americans by having an African American symbol for its university, and that symbol would come out at halftime during football and basketball games. Imagine the response that would get. I would ask your guests to explain on moral grounds the difference between that and what we're doing. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
I think the caller brings up a really interesting point and a very pointed one. I think there's a historical and a political difference between that. You're talking about deep south or south or anywhere where an African-American person is brought out, and the orientation of the African-Americans here certainly was one of slavery, and I think it would beg that issue. I think it would be total disrespect to do that. We're not looking at Native Americans being slaves per se. We're looking at celebrating that particular geographic heritage of which I still have. I don't think there's any disrespect whatsoever shown here. And I guess we get down to some people are going to agree and some people are going to disagree.
Well, this begs this question, though, because, I mean, there is a parallel. Native Americans were essentially outlawed in Illinois. They were persecuted and killed and actually kicked out of the state. And so there is a parallel. I just wonder to what extent the chief acknowledges that history. I know that there are, and maybe you can talk about the educational efforts that go beyond the basketball and the football games, because this is something we haven't talked about yet. But there is a legacy of oppression of Indians in Illinois, and if the chief serves an educational function, does that also enter into what is taught?
I find it, I don't really know how to answer that particular question. I look at the Alinawa and the historical fact of that. They were wiped out by other Algonquin tribes. I mean, they were not wiped out by the white man.
As well as smallpox, too. A lot of them died from all things like that.
I think it's a very complex issue.
Right. Well, it certainly is that. Okay, well, let's go on and talk with some other callers, and we'll go next to a listener in southern Illinois on line number four. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
How you doing? I'll try to make this as fast as possible. It sounds a bit petty. I was tuned in a little late. This sounds
sure.
a bit petty. You know, I wouldn't pick a mascot for me that was weak and not capable of a, you know, I would pick, they ought to be honored if you ask me. You know, and the arguments in history and stuff is the white man came over here and ravaged them. But and that's possibly true, but look what they're doing now. To me, in my eyes, my point of view, they're building all these casinos and stuff, and they're getting right back at us. They're taking advantage of us, and they're making us just as poor as they can and turning us into alcoholics and all that, you know. It's just a thought, but, you know, I don't really expect any response. I just wanted to voice my opinion.
Okay.
I'll get off and let somebody else take a turn. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Roger, one of the things that – let me just follow up on my previous question. I wanted to see if you wanted to talk about the other things that the chief does, because the chief is not just a cheerleader at football games. Is that
he's
correct?
He's not a cheerleader at all.
Okay.
He never wins a chair.
No, he's not a cheerleader. He doesn't speak. And he – you know, he – takes his regalia with him wherever he goes. He never wears it in the car. He never speaks to anybody. And that's all part of his dignity. He does go to schools and speak with young children. He does meet with people like at libraries. He tries to talk about educational things about Native American history. You know, all this, when you see the video, you'll see a lot of it started through the Boy Scouts and Indian guides and all that. And that was really the beginning of all this, was an educational tool through Boy Scouts from which this developed. So it kind of gives a little different slant on it and why it ever started. So,
well, let me ask you to expand a little bit on that. Is the chief currently speaking to schools? What does the chief do outside of the athletic events?
I think that's all he does is speak when he's asked to a certain
school.
Mostly
Rotary Clubs.
Children and
civic groups.
Yeah. Not a lot of that, though, actually. Nothing like they used to do because of the problem, you know. He used to do a lot, I'd say probably 20 years ago. He was very busy.
Jack, let me just touch on the cheerleader comment that you made. You know, this is for a specific 4 minutes at halftime. Doesn't matter whether we're behind or whether we're ahead. You know, if we're behind a touchdown with 2 minutes left, we don't roll the chief out. So I think the cheerleader moniker is not an accurate one. I think that it's a time of reflection during the middle of an athletic event, and it just so happens that those two events, a basketball game and a football game, happens to be when there's a great number of people representing a celebration mm-hmm. of the university itself. So I think never has the chief been a cheerleader, although there are some chiefs that are. Are there some Indian symbols that are, certainly.
It's kind of an isolated event during these sporting events. It's kind of a thing of its own. It comes out with a band, plays a 3-on-1. They always do exactly the same thing. Chief comes out in exactly the same way, and the people seem to respond with a great deal of emotion. This is an emotional thing. You know, it's really hard for a lot of people to tell you, why do I love this chief? Because it's emotional.
Okay. We have three callers waiting and just about 5 minutes left before we run out of time. Let's go next to a listener in Princeton on line number two. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hello. I'd like to address some of the points that the guests had brought up. One of the guests brought up an importance for bringing about consensus and common ground. One of the big arguments against the chief is that he's extremely inappropriate and insensitive to Native Americans in many different ways. For instance, he wears eagle feathers or simulated in eagle feathers. In Native American culture, you have to earn that right. He's never earned that right. He wears face paint. That has cultural and religious significance. Not everyone can wear it in Native American culture. He does. He's supposed to honor the Illiniwek people, but he's dressed in the outfit of a Lakota Sioux. If you truly wanted to honor the Illini people, you would take off the face paint, you would take off the feathers, you would take off his costume, and you'd be left with nothing. The Illini people generally wore woodland type of clothing. They shaved their heads, and they were heavily tattooed. But this is an image that would not be popular because it doesn't fit with the romanticized stereotype that many people have of Native American people. You know, true wisdom is knowing when to hang on to something and when to let something go. The time has come to let the chief go. He's never been a symbol of honor for Native American people. He's always been a symbol of contention. My son and I attended International Brotherhood Days in 1993 in South Dakota. Calvin Jumping Bull was addressing the group, and he made a point of mentioning that Illinois had the courage to close Dixon Mounds, which was an affront to Native American people for years. And he thanked us for that. And then he also reminded us that he still had one more thing to work on, and that was the elimination of the Chief Illiniwek, because that was continued to be an affront to Native American people. And I would hope that your guests would understand that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
The feathers were quite an issue, and the current feathers that are in the regalia are turkey feathers. I think out of respect for certainly the eagle feathers and the respect and the symbolism that they had. Face paint, I can't comment on that, but perhaps that would be an area for dialogue. Okay. As far as the costume, one of the things that I found that was interesting, because that was a question that I had, it was Lakota Sioux, but there was a statement made by a number of the chief that there was a celebration not just of the Alinawa, because he is exactly right, a woodland outfit that's basically a loincloth and tattoos, but this was a celebration of Native American and of the Plains Indians. Again, not trying to beg an excuse there, but there was some thought and some sensitivity put into that, but I think the caller's point's well taken.
We just have about 2 minutes left, and I'm sorry, there are a couple callers we're just not going to be able to get to. But I want to give you a couple of minutes to talk about what people will get from the film. What do you think that this contributes to the dialogue that has been lacking?
Well, it'll be an honest documentary, historical, to show exactly what happened in 1926 and how it's grown over the years, and how as each year has gone on, it seems more honor, more pride, dignity has been given to the chief, become very meaningful.
I hope that it will add to the factual pool of the dialogue, and that there would be a sensitivity, that there is sensitivity. And, you know, there's sincere people with sincere thoughts on both sides of this dialogue, and I think that there is possibly some common ground for some sensible people down the roadway.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there with the additional word that, again, the premiere of the film The Chief is tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. at the Clarion Hotel, and you also have videotapes available for folks?
Videotapes will be available starting at 6 p.m. at the Clarion North Entrance on Friday evening. Even if you don't have a ticket, you can certainly go ahead and get a video there for a donation of $20 or more.
Okay. Yeah, and also the film will be shown a week later at 8 mm-hmm. o'clock at the Clarion. And for tickets, people can call WDWS, WHMS at 351-5300, and tickets are free.
Mm-hmm.
And having seen the film, I can say it's a high-quality production.
Thank you very much, Mark Herman.
And, I think it does present a story that it has not been told. And so if people really want to understand the issues, then you might want to take a look at it.
I think this will help them very much to understand a lot of things they may not know about the chief.
Well, to the three of you, Roger Huddleston, Gene Edwards, and Julie Herman, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you. Yeah, very much.
Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, and supplements, as well as a full deli, coffee bar, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce. That's it for this hour of Focus 580. When we return in just about 10 minutes, we'll be talking with comic artist Scott McCloud. He is the author of a couple of very interesting books looking at the meaning of comics in American culture, comics as art, as literature, as fun, as commerce, a number of things. His most recent book is called Reinventing Comics: How Imagination and Technology Are Revolutionizing an Art Form in Comic Format. Naturally, and we'll talk with him in just about 10 minutes. First, we'll take a break for some news and a market update.